both from Acts. First one's chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Now the church at Antioch, where there are prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And continuing with chapter 16, verses 6 to 10, Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Generally, the adaptation of The Lord of the Rings by Peter Jackson in his trilogy of films was a success. But one of the most powerful scenes for me in his films comes in the second part, The Two Towers, when Gandalf comes before the ailing king Theoden of Rohan. Theoden is wizened and aged, and Gandalf tries to awaken him to the threat that has arrived on his doorstep. But Theoden's counsellor, Grimmer Wormtongue, has enraptured his mind with the lies and spells of Saruman. Gandalf releases him from this deception as he reveals himself as Gandalf the White, and Theoden's countenance is transformed into the man he once was. And this scene is powerful for me in that the lies of the appropriately named counsellor Wormtongue have so corrupted and transformed Theoden, his whole nature has become distorted. Yet as the light comes back into his life, his real self is revealed once more. We may not be kings or queens. We don't have men or women alongside us in our lives who take on the role of counsellors. But we all take guidance for our lives from multiple sources. People, philosophies, worldviews, celebrities, books, media, politicians. All these become our counsellors in life. They all offer us words of wisdom by which we can chart the course of our journey through our lives. But are they the right words of wisdom and advice that will enable us to live our lives in the best way possible? Or are they words that will corrupt and distort the image of the divine within us? Jesus, of course, when he was with his disciples, was the best at offering words of wisdom and advice as how to walk in the ways of God. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life," he announces in John's Gospel. But Jesus knew he wasn't going to be physically around with his disciples forever. And rather than leave them with something that was second best, he said these words later in John's Gospel, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. When he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." when Jesus returned to the Father, he didn't leave us with a second best source of guidance. No, he left us with the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, someone who was just as connected to the plans and purposes of God as he was. Because the Spirit was and is part of the Godhead. Jesus says he'll give us another advocate, implying that he was already an advocate to his disciples and that the Spirit will be to them in the future as he has already been. There's a direct continuity between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the Spirit. We don't see the join. The difference is that Jesus could only interact with a few people at a time. Now, the Spirit could counsel and guide all followers of Jesus everywhere, all the time. And this word that the NIV translates is advocate, and has been translated with equal validation in other versions of the Bible in different ways because of its slippery meaning, as counselor, encourager, intercessor, helper, or comforter. And it's the Greek word paraclete. And my pastoral studies lecturer at Bible College, Peter Hicks, used to rhapsodize about this name for the Spirit, the paraclete, the one who draws alongside us in every circumstance of life, the very presence of God with us. It is the paraclete nature of the Spirit that is our guide in life. Not something that is nebulous and indistinct, hit and miss in the way of guidance, as if we were the Jedi relying on the Force. No, the Spirit is the person of God who is alongside us in our lives, just as we refer to someone coming alongside us in a time of need. The Spirit is the person of God who is there right alongside us all the time. This is the fundamental role of the Spirit. The Spirit is never far from us. If we stumble, the Spirit will catch us. This is the Paraclete Spirit, the God who is always with us. But the Paraclete Spirit isn't just a presence with us. As Jesus said, the Paraclete Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. And the Paraclete Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Paraclete Spirit doesn't just sit there. The Paraclete Spirit actively seeks to guide us in the ways of God and his kingdom. The Paraclete Spirit will speak to us. The Paraclete Spirit will reveal the truth to us. The Paraclete Spirit will counsel us. As Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except by their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we've received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The Spirit, person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. The Spirit brings the very heart and mind of God close to our hearts and minds. So as Paul writes in Galatians, we keep in step with the Spirit. We keep in step with God's ways for our lives. And this, it seems to me, is what is exampled in the early church, in the accounts we have in the Acts of the Apostles. A community of believers in Jesus who kept in step with the Spirit. and therefore they kept in step with God's plans and purposes for their lives and the life of the church as a whole. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll see numerous examples of the Spirit guiding believers. Peter is advised by the Spirit when Ananias and Sapphira lie to him, with the Spirit here protecting the church. In the accounts we thought about in the last couple of weeks, we had the Spirit guiding Philip to speak to the Ethiopian official and the Spirit advising Peter to go to Cornelius, with the Spirit guiding the disciples into new areas where the law would have previously barred them from going, engaging with Gentiles, supernatural confirmation that God's kingdom was growing. The early church didn't have the Bible as we have it today. They only had the Old Testament. And as great as this is, it didn't reveal to them the new thing that God had done in Jesus. The new things and the new ways that God was continuing to reveal himself to the world. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit he's revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plans. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news shall equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. And this plan had not been fully revealed in the scriptures and was now being revealed by the Spirit in the church. God guides and reveals that a multiracial church is good. And in our reading from Acts chapter 13, it shows this in action in the church in Antioch, where a whole mix of people come together to form God's church. And in the melting pot of cultures there, the guiding voice of the Spirit is heard. As the Spirit says, "Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them." A work that will involve them preaching to Jews and Gentiles all across the region. And later in our second reading from Acts, when Saul, now called Paul, is in danger of going in the wrong direction, the Spirit comes and interrupts his plans and guides him to go somewhere else. And it's an interesting way that Luke recounts the way that the Spirit prevents them going from in certain directions. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit, it says, and then later the Spirit would not allow them to go. Luke uses two different ways of describing, as if the Holy Spirit uses two different ways of preventing them. The Spirit's guidance was shown in different ways. And then Paul, in his letter, continues to reflect on the way that the Spirit guides, born out of his own experience. In Colossians chapter 1, he writes, "We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." And Paul speaks of how the Spirit will reveal God's will to us through the scriptures. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul was only referring to the Old Testament here in regards to the scriptures. But he also talks about the teaching of Jesus guiding us through the Spirit when he writes, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly," in Colossians 3. God continues to speak as God's word comes into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds. So how might God guide us today? As followers of Jesus, we are called not to live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. A reoccurring theme in the seven messages to the churches in Revelation is hear what the Spirit says. We need to live by the Spirit. We need to hear what the Spirit says to us. So firstly, we need to be open to be guided by the Spirit in our lives. And we need to expect to be guided by the Spirit. And this means we need to put aside our first inclination to be guided by our own desires and plans. We need to tune out all the other guiding voices of counsel that surround us in our lives and purposefully give over time to listening to God's voice through the Spirit. God will rarely speak to us in an audible voice. He may do, but it's rare. And God will more often guide us through the circumstances we're in, through other Christians, through the words of Scripture, through a reassurance we feel in our minds and spirits that this is the right rather than the wrong course of action. And we need to take time to become sensitive to the guidance of the Spirit. The chorus of all the other voices in the world are loud and dominant in our ears. And we need to listen to the still small voice of God. And that takes time to seek out God's will, to sift out God's words of grace and love from amid the dross and static. We also need to be careful because the lies of the world will soon distort the words of truth that God whispers to us. We can easily hear God's word through the filter of the world's wisdom rather than its pure form. And we need to weigh God's guidance in the light of Scripture, Christian tradition, and the shared counsel of our sisters and brothers in Christ. If we want to be guided by God through the Spirit, it will also mean that at times we will need to wait for God's guidance. If we really desire to be led by the wisdom of God as revealed through the Spirit, we will need to be prepared to wait. And in an instant culture, this is hard. We need to choose instead, not through our impatience to grasp hold of to the voice of what is easy, what has gone before, what the majority are doing, or the things that are rattling round in our heads and choose to do those, but instead wait for God's word that will come at the right time to us. If we are patient, the Spirit will reveal God's wisdom and guidance to us at the right time and in the right way. And most importantly, the Spirit will enable us to live as Jesus' disciples today. Jesus said that the Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you, and that the Spirit will guide you into all truth. The guidance of the Spirit is all about you becoming the best image of Christ that you can be, the best disciple of Jesus that you can be. The Spirit of Jesus is all about making you more like Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus will not lead you to a bad end. The Spirit may lead you down unexpected ways. The Spirit may lead you to something new. The Spirit may take you beyond what you're used to and beyond even what you consider normal. But the Spirit will always be about making you more like Jesus. And as part of this, it will be like when the Spirit told Paul and his friends that they were going in the wrong direction. Because the Spirit will tell us too when we are going in the wrong direction. The Spirit will let us know when our choices are leading us not to becoming more like Jesus, but leading us to becoming less like Jesus. The Spirit will provide a word of correction in our lives when it's needed. And correction is just as much about guidance as is encouragement. And it's just as much something we need to take on board. to not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, is what it means to be a follower of Christ. And we need to learn to trust and be guided by God's Spirit, by his counsel, by what has been gifted to us by the Father and Jesus, everywhere and all the time. May the Paraclete Spirit, who is always and everywhere with us, counsel and guide us in all wisdom and grace. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, guide us, correct us, encourage us, counsel us, we pray, in your ways to become more like Jesus in all that we do. Amen.